So this story, I don't know if it's a true story, I don't know. Somebody, Yushalni, a young man was marrying off his children. He was running into serious debt, and he didn't have any. So he went to America to collect some funds. So he went to America, and then he got one wealthy individual, and this person says, Yushalni, what's this? Go and work, and what are you here for? And he starts screaming at him, and he says, well, make a living, going off other people's cheshbon, and what do you want us to support you for? And he was screaming and shouting and yelling at him for 5, 10, 15 minutes straight, giving him gans musa drasha, and all his opinions, all his days and everything. And he was just listening calmly and nicely, and was just nodding and everything. And after all that, he was screaming and shouting, he says, fine, he takes out his checkbook, takes out $300, and he gives it to him, $300, he gives it to him. And then he says, thank you very much, and off he goes. And he says, and then this balabas tells him, he says, one second, Ed, you come back for a second. And he comes back, he says, tell me, but how come you were like so calm and so dignified when I was screaming and yelling at you and giving you all these curses and everything? You were just like listening nicely. You've got this, what's this midas, what's this all about? And then he pulls out from his pocket, he pulls out the letter with all the addresses that where you go for collecting. And he says, by your name, it says, you get a 10 minutes musa drasha and shouting and screaming about all his opinions, but afterwards he gives you $300. So I knew I just had to wait patiently until I get my check. Yeah. What does that teach us? It teaches us that sometimes, so Melch Biderman brings this story, and I thought it's sweet because I don't know if it's a true story, but the point is a true point. That sometimes you go through, people, embarrassments, difficult situations, and not nice moments and all that. But if we just, we just bear with, we just wait until things are over. If eventually we get the $300, it's going to be all right. If we just give up our patience. Yeah, okay. Oh, that's the wrong chelik. Now, there was one more point before we proceed with Simon Mem, which I wanted to mention, an interesting discussion in the postgame, because we discussed, the last year, that the tefillin do not need to be checked, really, unless you know something happened. But normally, tefillin don't need to be checked. So there is a question which is discussed quite prominently in the postgame on this Simon. And they ask, what happens? What happens if Chas v'Shalom somebody does check the tefillin for whatever the reason may be, and then upon investigation it turns out that the tefillin were actually posel. So he did check them. He did check, and suddenly he finds out after wearing the tefillin for some 20 years, it turns out that there was a word missing. Happens. I remember a few years ago. There was when I was in Eretz Yisrael, so there was somebody talking exactly this story. There was and he made on Shabbos a big lechaim, a big kiddush, because I think it was the Amshna Rebbe told him that, you should celebrate at least from now onwards, you're going to wear kosher tefillin. So, celebrate. It could have happened that you wear it for the rest of your life. So at least now celebrate. So that's interesting in perspective. But halachically speaking, how do you look at a person that he never fulfilled once mitzvah tefillin correctly? What turns out after 20 years, this tefillin were apostle.
It was an obvious mistake.
Absolute mistake. It happens.
Didn't we say you can put it on the side plate?
Put it on what? Should put it on?
You can rely on it because the side plate made a mistake.
Yeah, very good. So I saw that the poskim generally, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank speaks it out the way you do. He said that it's an onus, like we know generally an onus. Avos also has a truth about it. We find if somebody's an onus. Onus command of it. If somebody's an onus, it's beyond his control. He's tried his best. He's done his best. He bought by Yiras Shemaim Sofer. What more can he expect? What more can he demand? Okay, so I think most poskim will agree with that. Not all, but most poskim will agree with that. But the question is, what is it? What kapol does he need to do? Tshuva? Does he need to do anything? Is there anything? Or, no, but in reality, think about this. He's for 20 years, or for 30 years, or for 40 years, we're wearing posel tefillin. So I saw one interesting, what would you say? Should do tshuva? something or not? No. So it's fault. But that's nice, interesting. So very similar. It's very interesting what you're saying, because of Shem Zalman. I looked in the poskim a little bit, and I saw one thing which I thought that was quite interesting. Very similar to what you're suggesting. Shem Zalman said that if a person chas v'shalom turns out that he will posel tefillin, and he finds out, so what he should do is that mikan ve'elech. Yes, of course, it's not his fault, and he could have, and he should have, and he did rely on the. It's fine to rely on the sofa, etc. But mikan ve'elech, he should add a few minutes. 5-10 minutes of tefillin every day. I think that makes a lot of sense. To kind of, to rectify, not rectify, but to counterbalance.
Which means to add.
He should wear, every, instead of, after davening, he should keep on wearing the tefillin for another 5-10 minutes.
After davening?
Yeah. For increase, for increasing the tefillin wearing of the kosher tefillin over the years. Yeah, but time those, yeah, I didn't see this. Yeah, it's an interesting idea. I think it's a really interesting idea that. It's an interesting idea because you also enhance your mahadl, the mitzvah tefillin then. Yeah, it's a nice idea. Okay, Simon Mem. Din eich linoik bekdushas tefillin. What is the right way of, the correct way of honoring kedushas tefillin, the tefillin? How do you do that? So, Sif Aleph teaches us, also litlois tefillin bevein bevatim bein bretzuas. You don't have to hang the tefillin. Don't hang the tefillin. Don't hang the tefillin. Bein bevatim, whether you hang them onto the, imagine it's the hook, and you want to hang up the tefillin for convenience. Don't hang them. It's very disrespectful to hang tefillin, whether you hang them on the bais, bein bretzuas, or whether the leather bretzuas. But if they are in a box or in a bag, then it would be permitted. So the point is something extremely disrespectful by having them hanging in the air. Hanging in the air is a problem. What does that make you think of? Yeah? Ha, of course.
Don't do it like that.
Very good. So the Mishnah is bothered by that. In Sifkot, yeah, let's see what
Mishnah. You can hang the
bag. The bag is fine. Bag is fine.
So the bag, you can do it.
Yeah, the bag is fine. We're talking about over here. Yeah, that's fine as well. Says the Mishnah, "If cotton also litlois ale yoseit on a hook mipnei shudech bizon, because that's disrespectful way. If cotton base ben bevatim shebatim tuin lemato, that the houses are hanging dangling down, ben shiritzuos tuin lemato, whether the ritzuos are dangling down, makes no difference how you're hanging. Hanging is a problem. Mikol mokim beakroi, here comes your point. However, beakroi in a very occasional manner, bealmish oiches the tefillin, you're holding the tefillin beyond with your hands. If you're holding the tefillin." With your hands, where ritzuas tluyah is lemato, and ritzuas are hanging down, ein lehakpid, you don't have to. You don't, there's no concern. Haritzuas tluyah is lemato. The ritzuas are hanging down. Avelim atfilin tluyin also bechol gavne. But if the tefillin are the tefillin are hanging down, it would be a problem either way. Ve'ein bichlal ze masha. Tefillin shel rosh toloi be'avir machzik v'ad ritzuos misim al rosh ki zeh letzorech hanechosan. He said, that's if you're holding the tefillin by holding the tefillin box and the ritzuos are going down be'akroi for a second, and that's the way you're placing the tefillin on your head. That's okay. What is that? What is important though in the Mishnah Berurah's words? That some people don't, are not makpid on. Think about it, what you're putting on tefillin shel rosh. Mishmu says, it's okay, you know, hanging and dangling is no good. However, you're holding the bais, and that's where you're positioning the tefillin on your, that's okay. So what's not okay? And you see people doing it.
Holding the yud.
Holding, what is, it's pretty common. You take it out of the box, tefillin shel rosh, and you hold it by the back, and the bais hangs down, and then you put it like this, right? Plenty of people who do it like that. Watch yourself tomorrow. Take a selfie.
What are you meant to do then?
Pardon?
What are you meant to do?
You're holding on. You have to hold by the bais.
By this? By the box?
Yep.
You have to hold the box?
Yep. Yeah, that's what Mishnah says. Hanging, tefillin down, dangling, is disrespectful. So you got to hold it. By the bais, by the box, yeah. And that's the way you do it. Yeah.
The thing is, when we think of the Mishnah, it's sort of like
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think that's not called dangling and not hanging. It's like, I suppose, I know what you mean. Although there are, I think, people will sometimes make sure to hold it as it goes down as well because of respect to the tefillin. But it's not really what the Mishnah was talking about. Here we're talking about hanging in the air properly. So yes, a person should be careful. I think it's an important Mishnah over here. A person should be careful the way he places the tefillin on his head and from his head is always by holding the bais. Now, Mishnah Sifkot and Gimel reminds me of something interesting. Sifkot and Gimel over here. Bekisson. V'sefer Torah also litloisa b'chol gavna. It's not only that tefillin are not allowed to be hanging, but a sefer Torah also similarly must not be hanging. What, a hanging Sefer Torah? Yes, it's very disrespectful, a hanging Sefer Torah. Afilu kshu b'or in HaKodesh, even if it's in the on HaKodesh, v'toyle or in HaKodesh, ayin b'chay odom k'tal amelav, shikos tafilu kshu on HaKodesh, m'chopo b'yaseidois, even if the oin is connected and attached, l'koysel to the wall, also, it's, you're not allowed to have the Sefer Torah hanging in the air, in the oin. He has to be standing or sitting on something. Sefer Torah must be reaching the floor. It must be supported. Yeah, I hear. Good question. Yeah, it's a nice question. It's really interesting. Yeah. So Abu Isai, he says over here, so Sefer Torah, point number one is Sefer Torah, and he carries on with Sforim, Kagun Sifrei Talmud, the Chedoyim, the Doyim, and the Tefillin, don't have Sforim hanging in the air. Of course. So it's Tefillin, that's the Shulchan Aruch, Mishmu continues with Sefer Torah, Mishmu now continues with Sforim also. Of course, if it's in a Sforim shank, if it's a shelf, it's fine. But if you've got any way that it should be hanging in the air, that would be a problem.
If you've got sforim or sidurim, hakvuim beluchos shebem shalshale shel kesef, also letlois shebem shaluches and doimis lekeis lefishem uchabes lesidur v'ein kesidur atzmoi.
Right. So what he says is that they mustn't be hanging. Rabbi Yisai, so it's important to realize and to note that the Sefer Torah must be sitting on something. Must be sitting on something. You can't have a Sefer Torah hanging in the air. Have you ever seen Sefer Torah hanging in the air? I have. And you might also have. Most recently, I went to a museum when I was in Hungary, whenever that was, a few months ago. I went to the shul that transformed one of the areas of that shul. They transformed into a museum. And in that museum, this is run by non-Fum Yidin, or perhaps even Goyim, I'm not sure. But there was a Sefer Torah to show, you know, what the Yidin believe in. A Sefer Torah. And lo and behold, I noticed the Sefer Torah was open, which is a bizarre, and it's in a glass. It's like in a glass, what's that called? A glass
case.
And the Sefer Torah was open, which is anyway very disrespectful. And it was literally hanging there. It was like, you know, two things from the side holding the Sefer Torah. This is what the Mishnah Berurah says you're not allowed to do. That's it. That's exactly it. Even if the Sefer Torah would be closed, even then would be disrespectful. Even more so if it's open, you know, it's a very, very, it's a blatant disrespect of the Sefer Torah. Yeah.
It's not a problem what the
Sephardim
do. They have it in the box. It looks like technically it's suspended.
I hear what you're saying, but it's not suspended because, first of all, you know, it's reaching the floor and it's extremely respectful. Actually, if you're asking my personal opinion, I find the Sephardish Sefer Torah are far more respectful than ours. Don't you find them? They're so beautiful. Such a hiddle, the case, the beautiful cases, they're incredibly, it's not our Messiah, it's not our tradition, but they are very, very, very respectful. I always found them very, very, very b'chovedik. Yeah. Now, the next three lines of the Mishnah Berurah address the $1 million question, what happens if Chas V'Shalom Tefillin fall? It's a very innocent looking Mishnah Berurah over here. The next three lines of Sifkot and Gimel. What happens if Sefer Torah, has it ever happened to you? What happens if Sefer Torah, is not a Sefer Torah, that's discussed elsewhere, if the Tefillin fall?
You fast or give extra
tzedakah. Fast or give tzedakah. Tefillin falling. If it falls on there, floor.
Depends if the tefillin itself
Or if it's in the bag
in the book. Look at what Shmuel over here. Noyagin ha'olam leis anois. People have the custom to fast. Kshenoyfel tefillin yodoy, when the tefillin fall from your hand. Al ha'oretz, on the floor. Beloy na'atikon, without its box. Ve'hu aden. And similarly, kshenoyfel sefer Torah, if sefer Torah is more serious, afilu ben atikon, even if it's in its wrappings. But that's not for now, that's a discussion elsewhere. But the Rabbi says that tefillin, if it's in a box, you should give tzedakah as well. So listen, the Mishnah says over here two conditions. The minhag is to fast when tefillin fall on the al ha'aretz, on the floor, below an atikin without the box. So there's two conditions. Fasting is required when A, it's on the floor, B, if it's on the without a box. So if any of those conditions are not fulfilled, such as it's in a box, no need to fast, or in a bag, I suppose, same thing, don't have to fast. And also the first point, al-ha'aretz, means that it falls on the, if it falls on the table, a person will need to fast. So if it ever happens, if it falls on the table, there's no need to fast. Yes. Yes, and I think that's a common misconception. If the tefillin fall off, it says ala oretz explicitly. Is that considered the oretz? I really don't know. Interesting question. I don't know. I would assume it's considered oretz. Because oretz is probably defined by it's probably defined by where people step on, and also it's within gimel tfachim probably of the ground. My gut feeling tells me that it's the oretz. Yeah.
But if it's in the bag,
then it's fine. Then no need to fast. That doesn't make a difference. It's only the halach is only you got to fast below in atikon if it's not protected at all. If it's once it's covered, wrapped up, or anything, then it is no need to fast. Yeah, so for the Ritzus itself, you won't need to fast. Yeah. Rabbi Yisai, it's a mitzvah minig. You note the word of the Mishnah Berurah, Noyagin ha'olam leis anos, it's a minig to fast. And Mishnah Berurah says that even if it is in its box, then it is right to give tzedakah. So again, if it's in its bag, or it's not on the floor, I suppose the if it's not in a bag and it's on the floor, the meaning is to fast. If it's in its box or in its bag, then one should give tzedakah. The question is in terms of fasting, do you fast that very day?
And how long do you fast?
So the answer to both questions is, one fasts an entire day if one can. The minhag that Mishnah is referring to is a full
evening.
Yep. No. It means the full day, like the man at Hanesim.
Not like Yom Kippur
Tisha B'Av. No, it would be like a man of fast. You'd fast from the morning to the end. The question is, do you fast that day?
Yeah, so it's an interesting discussion.
It's a really interesting discussion. So the post can say, if you haven't eaten that day, then you could fast that day. Perhaps even you should fast that day. But if you have had a coffee before or a cup of water, then obviously it's not considered a fast. Then what a person should do is to take fast another day with Kabbalah's Tanis, which we've learned previously. You accept the Tanis by Mincha, etc., and you fast the subsequent day. We discussed another time if you can wait until it's now that it's the summer and Nacht is like really, really late. So could you postpone it for a few months until it gets a bit earlier? The answer is yes, you could. So you don't say the anein, you say that tefillah. No, you say that tefillah, which is published in all the sidurim. That at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, there's two tefillahs that a person would recite. One is that in the end of Mincha, there is a tefillah Ribon Kol Olam that a person would say, and a person would say in the middle of Shema Kolenu, a person would say that a special tefillah for which this siddur doesn't seem to have for a special that a person is asking a Kodesh Baruch Hu Mechila, but either it's not ma'akev. Even a person doesn't daven that, he's still done his tannis. Yeah, but again, as you mentioned, that if a person is unable to fast, then of course he could give tzedakah instead. Yeah, in terms of sefer Torah falling, the halachas are more complex because it doesn't go just to the person who cholele holds the sefer Torah, goes to people seeing it as well. But that's a discussion elsewhere. But to summarize what we learned this evening, we initially discussed the halachas relevant to somebody who finds out that he has tefillin which were apostle. Then we discussed that a person is not allowed to hang the tefillin, whichever way it is considered disrespectful, unless it's in its bag. We even discussed that that if a person puts on tefillin, should ensure to hold it by the bais, by the box, and not by the ritzuas. We learned the halacha of not hanging sefer Torah, not hanging svarim. That's a disrespect, which is learned from derived from this halacha as well. And finally, we learned the halacha as regards to falling sefer Torah, falling tefillin. Excuse me, if the tefillin fall, the person should fast. If it fell on the floor, if it fell without a box, if it fell with a box, then one should just give tzedakah. Okay, I wish you good evening.